Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us here in Washington, D.C. this December 1st, 2015. Follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. Zardcast@gmail.com is the email address should you have a question, comment, or query you'd like read on the show. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, Google Play, whichever application you prefer. Search Zardcast, recommend us, give us a review. All that stuff would be nice. We've been out of here for a little while, but do remember that the policy is you give us a shout-out on the Twitters, we shout you out on the show. That's the rule around here. Sorry we had a bit of a layoff. Life kind of, it gets in the way of things. We had things to do, and it created some problems with the Wizards, as we'll discuss later, but we're sorry we were gone. We missed you guys, and we're back, and we're going to get into like a regular stride here again. But it doesn't seem like we missed much, you know. Nice four-game losing streak. Although we are recording this on the heels of snapping that losing streak. Wizards beat the Cavs tonight. We'll talk about that. We will rank the losing streak, the losses in terms of sadness, 1 through 4 tiers. Say goodbye to Martell Webster. Maybe we'll talk a little Kobe Bryant, NBA recommendations. Let's get into it. My friends, my co-hosts, Duncan Perfect Roth, how are you, sir?
This is weird. I'm in a new seat. I got intro'd first.
Yeah.
It makes me a little uncomfortable.
I just moved over and we locked eyes and that was it.
Man, but yeah, good to be back. Happy to get rolling again.
It's exciting. David Keffer, friend, co-host, roommate, how are you? How do you feel it being introduced second?
It's interesting. I feel there's a lot of like nervous energy now flying around the room. Nobody quite knows what's going to happen. It's electric, really.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I have a question regarding our Twitter shout-out policy.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to tweet from my personal account just like 150 times a day between now and the next Zardcast, would it just be an hour of you thanking me?
I'm going to put the onus on you for that one. So if you want to fill up your own allotted speaking plot on this podcast with you thanking yourself,
uh-huh.
I think that'd be uncharted territory in the podcasting realm.
All right.
That's something that the listeners might not know, is that Duncan and I are each allotted, a time slot that we get to fill. We can say whatever we want, but once we hit it, we're not allowed to talk for the rest of the episode.
We've got these nifty like timers. They slap the button when they start talking, and they slap it again when they're done. And that determines how long the show is. So just whatever I'm feeling that week. Well, I'm excited to be back, guys. Before we get into Wizards talk, I wanted to lead off a general life question, since life has gotten in the way and prevented us from dishing out our thoughts on the Wizards. I thought we could dish out some thoughts on our Thanksgiving meals. Duncan, what was your favorite thing you ate for Thanksgiving?
It was all real good. But if I had to pick out my favorite piece of it...
Was it the turkey? Was it the pumpkin pie?
Both of those were present. But I'm always partial to stuffing. Stuffing's always been my favorite, and it was very well done this year. So it wins again.
Strong. Dave?
I think every year, You know, I get very hyped for, like, the Thanksgiving dinner itself. But really what I most enjoy eating is a leftover turkey sandwich. You put a lot of mayonnaise, some pickles on there. That is my go-to. And I think I ate 3 or 4 of them.
3 or 4?
After I had some drinks after dinner and then, you know, late at night.
That's the real question. How many beers did Dave Keffer have on Thanksgiving?
I drank a lot of different things. That's, you know, you give thanks for all the different kinds of things that you could drink.
Yeah.
You drink a whiskey drink.
I did.
A vodka drink.
Yeah, I did. I was drinking some White Russians, some wine, some whiskey, some beers.
That's quite the diverse array of drinks there.
Yeah, I've got a problem.
It's okay. I think I stuck to beers on Thanksgiving. I was out of town, and the problem was the people I was with, they kept going to sleep at like 10:30, so I was just getting wasted every night by myself, and mostly off beers, but...
That's the best time to sit and reflect on what you're really thankful for.
I was just firing off angry things on Twitter. That's all that was. Like, I was outraged about how, like, Les Miles was treated by the LSU AD. Like, who cares? Let's dish some thoughts on the Wizards here. We've got much to discuss. It's been a while since we've been on here. After our last recording was after the loss to the Thunder. That was, I've got the schedule up in front of me. That was back... So our last episode was November 11th.
Boom.
Yeah. In between...
Ages ago.
Yeah. It's a bit of a layoff, but we'll recover from it. They got 2 wins immediately after that Thunder loss against Orlando and Milwaukee. I'm sorry, 3 wins at Detroit as well, but then they reeled off 4 big losers. But before we get to the losers, I think we need to talk about tonight's game. Biggest victory of the season, right up there with the Spurs win. The Wizards, they pounce on the Cavs early. They don't ever relinquish their lead. Wizards 97, Cavaliers 85. They made it interesting the last couple minutes, but nice to see them, you know, after several very listless, completely forgettable performances, they put together a nice one. They make Kevin Love look dumb. John Wall notches a 30-point game in...
35 and 10.
35 and 10. Who knows? I don't know when the last time he hit 30 points was. Not this season.
It was his highest of the season, they said, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's been at least since playoffs. That's some time.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked it up earlier when he was going off in the first half. I think he's only had 4 or 5 35-point games in his career.
Nice to watch it with you, gents.
It was a good time to have one.
Yeah. Needed it, for sure. He's been playing some dreadful basketball. Among the worst in his career. He's been a turnover machine, shooting it piss poorly. This started several weeks ago, too. It's not even confined to this 4-game losing streak. Even over those wins over the Magic, the Bucks, the Pistons, he didn't play that well, and then during the losing streak, things kind of bottomed out for him.
Well, you guys know I have a little bit of a relationship with John.
And that's true.
He listens to the Czarcast, and what we didn't do on our last episode, which we have never done before.
Never not done.
We've never omitted it before, yeah. Right? Is, you know, the week in John Wall. And we just entirely left out that segment. And he called me up the next day, and he was sort of, like, kidding around, like, oh, you guys forget about me. And I was like, John, just, you know, play better, and we'll see if we can fit you in next week. And, you know, they won 3 games. He didn't play particularly well. And he comes to me, and he's like, oh, 3-0, like... I expect a double-length segment this week.
So he wants to play twice and for us to talk about him as twice as long?
Right, and I just didn't care for his attitude. So I said, you know, we're not even going to have an episode this week. Why don't you get your shit together? And he went into a real spiral after that. He wouldn't return any of my texts. He played like garbage. They lost 4 straight games. And then finally he called me and he was like, look, man, what do I have to do to get it this week? In Wall's segment, and I said, go out there and put up 35 and 10, and we'll see if we can do one.
Ni ha Watch it. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody knew it, John. Why do it, John?
Yeah, he kind of hit rock bottom there with that those Raptor free throws, those missed free throws at the end, and you know he earned it tonight. So there you go, John.
Did he short arm him? Because he was playing the Raptors.
Duncan, that's why we couldn't do the pod without you. We can't do it without your jokes, man.
We can do it. All right. Well, you mean earlier tonight or in general?
In general.
Well, I know a lot of times I'm the cause of misscheduling, but I'm going to say not me this time around. I was pretty much available all the time except for like one night.
It's true.
So don't sully my name.
Well, I was just saying, like, you know, you're an integral piece.
Don't sully my name.
I'm not sullying your name, all right? We're not going to get into semantics and really...
sully you.
This is more about, I mean, I would say us missing a couple weeks more has to do with Dave and John, really.
Yeah, as was just explained.
Yeah.
But it was worth it for the show that he put on tonight.
Is that what we need to do? Like, we need to, like, squeeze him for good performances?
It's like a motivational tactic.
Well, I mean, I think that he's learned his lesson. He came out, he was super locked in right from the beginning, had four steals in the first quarter, I think. Hitting all his jumpers, and I could tell he had that look in his eye like, I'm getting that segment this week.
I got it. It's mine. Well, as far as the Cavaliers game goes tonight, in contrast to what the Wizards had been doing previously, they came out aggressively. They were hitting shots. John was playing hard. Gortat, who is off the victim of Randy's soft attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Always skewered him for that. He had a really strong game. He had a double-double. He was playing hard, grabbing rebounds, sending some nice picks. Jared Dudley, he and Gortat played for a vast majority of the game. I'll pull up their minutes here in just a second, but that was crucial. Jared Dudley playing well. Brad also had a nice game. He had 10 in the third quarter, which was vital to keeping that lead. But I think the biggest thing tonight, Randy Whitman's tie. What say you guys? It was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I don't want to keep harping on this, but it's just every time I see him, that tie was just brutal. From like the 1970s.
He'd been saving that one for a special occasion like tonight.
I think you touched on the two things I was going to bring up from the game were Gortat in a game where they really needed him to play well. No Nene had one of his best of the season, played tough all game. And Beal, that third quarter came when he really wasn't shooting well at all prior, wasn't making any of his long shots, and then the third quarter into the fourth just started driving all the time, and it was working. He was getting to the rim pretty much every time he tried to. And that kind of staved off the Cavaliers' run.
Cavs tried to get back into it at the end. They were hitting some shots. A little bit concerning. It did take till the buzzer, but they got it done. Nice to see.
I mean, I think that kind of thing at the end there where you're up 10 with, you know, 2 minutes left, when they'd had all their success playing fast and, you know, running on them. Of course, you're going to let them get within, like, six with 30 seconds left or whatever, just because you're going to slow down the offense. But I was only worried because that would be a very Wizards thing to do. I didn't think they were really, like, close to blowing the game at the end.
Let's take a jaunt down memory lane here. We're not going to extend all the way back to the last time that we spoke, but... we need to discuss this four-game losing streak here. The Wiz, they lost to the Pacers at home. They lost to Charlotte on the road, Boston on the road, and then to the Raptors last Saturday night. A number of things went wrong in all of these games. I kind of want to rate them in terms of sadness, you know, how many, four tiers, the saddest game, I would probably peg that for Charlotte, followed by the Raptors, then Boston, then the Pacers. That's where my tier scale would go.
I mean, I would rate them by how much I was able to watch. The Pacers game, I watched pretty much the whole thing. The whole time I was just like, they can't keep hitting these shots.
But they did.
But they did. And so that was like an obnoxious thing, but not really like a bad sign necessarily. If they're going to shoot 73% from three, then...
Sustainable.
That'll just happen sometimes, even though it's literally never happened before. But I guess that's a thing that can happen. The Hornets game, I don't even remember. I feel like I watched almost all of it, but I don't remember too much of it. It was just, like, terrible basketball.
Yeah, and I was, you know, where the Wizards, they just, like, didn't score any points in the fourth quarter. Not more than a couple.
The Celtics game, I turned off early in the second. I was just like, I can't watch them get destroyed by, this, like, Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger again.
I can't do it, man.
I think Avery Bradley had a big game, maybe. And then the Raptors, that one was tough because I thought, all right, we're finally getting back. They should have won that game pretty easily. And that was the one where Wall looked the most checked out to me. And so that was probably the most painful one to watch.
Yeah, that Hornets game, they lost on a 25-2 run. That's why I gave it four tiers. That was pretty dreadful.
Was this on a Friday or a Saturday?
It was on a Wednesday, last Wednesday. The Pacers game, unsustainable shooting. The Boston thing was a disaster. And then, you know, you want to beat Toronto. Like, out of all those, like, that would have been, you know, it's nice to beat the Cavs, but I really wanted to beat Toronto. And to lose like that, it's just, it's a bummer. And a lot of people are panicking.
I would preface before ranking those that, for me, all four of those teams are better than I think necessarily their reputation is. Like, maybe Charlotte's not great, but they play tough, and they give tough games to some pretty good teams, and they got some guys who get really hot and can play. But Boston is going to be a playoff team. Indiana's super hot right now. Paul George is unstoppable.
Second in the East, I think.
And then the Raptors, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're always a pain in the ass, so... you know, I wouldn't find any one of those on its own that disheartening. Stringing four together sucks, and the way someone went down sucks. But, you know, the team names aren't as bad as you would think at a glance.
It's true. We do. The East is a tad proved this year, as also evidenced by the Wizards. Not that the playoff picture really matters, but they're towards the end of the pack in the East. No big deal at the moment, but just a thing that is happening.
You know what I think is, now that I'm looking at it, and just based on how they played tonight, I think that those four games were the games when Chris Humphreys started getting phased back out in the way that they had tried to phase him in at the beginning. He played less than 15 minutes in all those games. So there are going to be some growing pains there. But tonight it looked like, and he played maybe 5-7 minutes the whole game.
I couldn't believe how little he played tonight.
And that seems like the right way to go, I think. Let him play. I don't know that he really fits at all. Now that Dudley's here to play the four. And even the five, which he played tonight, for like 8-9 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Do you think that Randy Whitman is actually the worst, just like we always thought he was for doing this? Was this his just attempt at trying to get the most out of what he had on his roster? Was he just being silly? I don't want to call him dumb, but
I think he was trying to hold on to some semblance of his past. He didn't want to embrace full small ball, you know. That's too far into him, even though it worked for him in the playoffs and seems to be the way things are going. He still wanted to, you know, maybe I'll go small ball, but with a big man like Humphries. And, you know, now he's said, screw it. I'll just fully embrace it. Rock it out like he did tonight.
I think that is a more charitable interpretation of what happened than the one that I have, which is that he just, like, fundamentally doesn't understand what it is, like, what's, like, the value of, like, small ball is. It's not just having a guy that plays power forward that can shoot three-pointers. Like, we saw that in itself is terrible. It wrecked pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Turnovers were all over the place. The defense wasn't good. And how could you watch Chris Humphries pump faking, dribbling like two steps inside the three-point line and then freaking out and be like, this is a good offense. This is like an innovative thing that we're doing. And once Jared Dudley got slotted in there, it's all been so much better. It all works, and it's clearly like an offensive system now. He cuts, he can pass the ball, he can dribble the ball. Humphries can't do any of those things.
And I think, you know, if Randy really wants to cling to that pass, he doesn't want to totally get away from it, he could have his second unit, you know, play how he would traditionally want them to play, you know? Like that, I feel like that actually makes a lot of sense.
Monet and Humphries in there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Chris Humphries, he still is money at the elbow jumper. And what's Randy Whitman's favorite shot? Long two-pointers. So he could still do that if he really wanted to. And that's not like a bad way to create offense. It just doesn't really work when you're trying to put your best five guys in the most successful position to score points and play well.
And I actually do think, just based on some of the lineups that we've seen, like bench units, there is a really potent like second unit that's possible with some mix of Temple's been really good. Sessions has been really good. You can put either Dudley or Otto, whichever one, you know, you're going to like stagger the minutes if that's the way that you want to go. Alan Anderson might come back. And then Nene could basically run an offense. Like Joakim Noah does sometimes.
Plays that hub role up by the free throw line. Yeah, I can see it. I hope that they figure it out now that hopefully they've totally transitioned from Chris Humphries to Jared Dudley as the starting four. Hopefully that's something that they can try and hash out as we get a little bit further into the season. I mentioned a couple minutes ago that Marcin Gortat, he is the punching boy for Randy Whitman, as far as, you know, talking about team softness. We always know when he's talking about softness, like, it is definitely like a blanket statement, but if he's tossing a blanket over the team, he's swinging his arms right on top of Marcin Gortat. Do you think that is that legitimate? Is this just a thing that Gortat does and we just have to accept it?
If you throw a blanket up in the air, it lands on the tallest guy.
Okay? Good point.
That's all it is. If you're going to talk about a team being soft, the big man's going to be the one that has to be tougher.
And the blanket's going to land on his head. He's going to be like, oh, this is nice.
And it's probably going to make him want to make him cuddle and stuff. It's not
gonna on his bald head, too. Randy, you devious bastard.
I do think that Gortat is, I mean, Randy does call him out the most, but I think that's because Gortat is the most susceptible to hearing it and being like sensitive toward it. I don't think Nene gives a fuck. You could
Nene gives no fucks.
You could say, I think Randy could say pretty much whatever he wanted about Nene's play, and it wouldn't bother him. Same with John, Brad, really. I think Gortat just takes it to heart the most. And Randy's always talking about, like, toughness and things like that. And, of course, your center has to, like, the biggest guy on your team has to be that. But
it's probably, like, a stereotype he's trying to been living up to all his life. We haven't dusted that off in a while.
He was great tonight. Do you have his stat line up there?
I sure do. Marcin Gortat, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks. That's a really nice night for him.
And that's with not playing most of the fourth.
Yeah, he was in...
He got in some foul trouble, had to sit almost the whole fourth quarter.
Some questionable foul trouble, but he was holding his own with Mozgov and Tristan Thompson out there on the glass.
Shot 70%, too.
Had a bunch of nice shots.
Good for him. Another guy I think we should give some shine to, since we're let's shy away from those dark previous games. Otto Porter is just fantastic. He didn't have a great shooting night tonight, but he's just all over the place. And I think he was leading a break tonight, and that was the fastest we've ever seen him move. Dave, that's what you commented. Just getting to know and love Otto more and more as the games go by.
He's so good. I mean, what was his line tonight? Like 5-4 or something? And
6-5-2 with a block.
But he was everywhere. I mean, he's involved in almost every rebound on the offensive glass. He's making great cuts. If he could just hit those wide-open threes, he could easily be scoring 15 points a game.
He'll get there. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know.
If he hits the wide-open threes, then the stuff he's already good at, like those backdoor cuts and drives and stuff, it would be even easier for him, too.
He is so good at finishing, like, 7 feet from the basket. He has so many, like, weird little, like, hook shots and, like, runners and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's just the best. And he has a really good picture in 2K. He's, like, looking up down the floor, but he's, like, kind of surprised at what he's seen.
Everybody else looks really tough, and Otto is just like, oh, what? I'm going to be in a video game?
That's cool, I guess.
Wizards, a tier 2 team, I noticed.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Ouch.
Who are the tier 1s? How many tier 1s are there?
I just got it. I mean, two days ago.
I'm going to need these answers by next week.
Okay.
Do you want to wax poetic about your PlayStation 4 real quick? Say some nice words, because I know it's listening to us right now.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a little early on.
Okay. Fair.
I don't know how big a part of my life it's going to be yet. It feels like it's pretty serious, but I can't say for sure.
As your roommate, I mean, I saw you up with it late last night, and you know, I woke up this morning and I saw you with it some more, so... It seems serious.
It's hot and heavy early.
Yeah, but if you want to hold off total judgment, then I don't blame you. Let's move down the line. We have some goodbyes to say. We have some hellos to say. But first, let's say goodbye to Martell Webster. 3 years with the Wizards, waived on Monday. He was having hip surgery again. He's been kind of a mess for the last year and a half or so, and unfortunately, I think it was time to move on. He just kind of bogged down a roster spot. Would have liked for him to come back and contribute, but you know, at the very least, the Wizards, they added to his wealth, so
yeah,
not a whole lot to complain about. It sucks that he might never play basketball again.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite parts of that season when they finally got good again, finally made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He was huge.
4-point play wizard.
Yeah. He's part of the greatest Wizards gif, my favorite one, the unveiling the wizard where he runs down the court and he goes like this, similar to the Cam Newton Superman thing, but it's different in its own way. And then a shot to like John Wall also doing it on the bench.
It's a little more team specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone can do like, oh, I'm doing the Superman. That's very generic.
And also had my favorite CSN segment, which they called Martellin' It Like It Is, where they would just ask him dumb questions and let him talk for a couple minutes. He seemed like a really good guy. It's too bad that he can't play, and somehow DeJuan Blair can. How's that fair?
He did seem like a good guy. He also seems like the type of guy who probably is okay with everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's bitter. I think they probably waived him, and he's like, yeah, that makes sense. And
right.
Now he's not with them.
I mean, he played basketball for a long time. Came in out of high school, which I'm sure like an interesting journey for him.
That's weird. He seems like totally normal and like well adjusted. Which, when you look at like I don't know, a lot of these guys that came out of they're all kind of weirdly eccentric. I mean, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Kevin Garnett, like LeBron James. There's all they all have like
J.R. Smith.
They all have like weird kind of I don't know. There's something like not normal about those guys. I mean, even LeBron, who seems generally as normal as like the most famous basketball player on the planet could be, but like Martell Webster just seems like a regular guy. I mean, obviously that's probably because he has not received the massive amount of fame as those guys, but like it's like a child star, you know? Like that's a hard thing to like grow up and mature in and become a normal person.
He definitely seemed to have more of like a sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm. And glad that he's, you know, he's pursuing a music career. He does music things. That's what he enjoys doing. Glad he, you know, he's able to do that without worrying about anything else. That's the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good luck to him. We'll miss him. If he plays basketball again, we'll keep an eye on him. In the meantime, the Wizards, they go out and they add a piece to their front court, sign Ryan Hollins. Free agent center. He last played for the Kings. He was on the Grizzlies before that. He's going to make $2.8 million for the rest of the year.
It's a non-guaranteed contract, right? They can still cut him, right?
I do not know that.
I don't understand. So did they use the injury exception they got for Webster on him?
Yes, they did.
Because it seemed like they signed him before. Like, they cut Webster and then signed him, and then later in the day, they were like, now the Wizards have this. I don't really understand any of that.
Maybe that's just how the news rolled out. Right. I don't know. They definitely picked him up with the like, disabled exception or whatever. And then, I don't have the specifics in front of me, but apparently, like, his... What they pay him is, like, half of what they paid Martell Webster. I don't know how that works, but...
It's a nice swing. Wizards... slowly accumulating, like, if you weren't a Wizards fan, a bunch of dudes who you just would find super boring, though. Like, if you weren't a Wizards fan and you looked at the roster and you saw Jared Dudley, Chris Humphries, Ryan Hollins, Alan Anderson,
Gary Neal.
Drew Gooden.
Yeah. Drew Gooden's got at least some personality and, like, he's been famous, I guess, before. But all those other guys have just been... you know, useful, but just real nobody sort of in terms of fame and excitement.
But you know, when your front court is John and Brad, or I'm sorry, your back court is John and Brad, and then your front court has been Nene and Gortat, how much more like character and personality do you need on a team than those four? Then you throw Otto into the mix, and he's just soaking up. He's like a sponge learning from all those guys. He's learning Portuguese from Nene. He's growing a sick goatee. He's trying to. He's learned from Gortat.
Yeah, and then Ramon Sessions, smoothest man around. I heard he had his own personal hot tub installed in the locker room.
Oh, yeah? I believe it. Probably because the other guys didn't want to get in there with them. They're like, oh, man, Vermont, you got too many ladies in here all the time. We don't know what you're doing down there below the bubbles.
And it's an infinity hot tub, which I don't even know how that works.
In a locker room.
It just goes all the way out to the horizon of the locker room.
The horizon of the Verizon. That's what they call it. Well, I hope Ryan Hollins, you, one of you guys mentioned it when we were watching this game. Like, what's he thinking? He just sits down on the bench and like they're playing this big game against the Cavs, and then like
he was real hyped for a little bit.
He's like, oh, cool. Well, I mean, it's definitely better than sitting at home.
Yeah,
just kind of funny. You gotta, that'd be such a weird situation to be just tossed into. If you're on any NBA team, a free agent coming off the streets.
What is he even doing otherwise? Just walking around ducking through doorways. Like, this is bullshit.
Let's move on down the line here. A little bit of...
Alan!
He's potentially back.
That's what we've been saying all year. Where is Alan?
And I want him to come back because I want to use that soundbite more often.
More often than once per episode.
Maybe twice per episode, like this.
Alan!
What's happening?
I just turned it down, Duncan.
Are you okay?
I'm hearing things weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Well, he might start practicing. That's a thing that might happen. And if he does come back, hopefully he'll help the team.
I think Jorge Castillo said he's practicing tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, love Jorge. One of the finest beat reporters out there.
He got the Alan got the sideline interview.
He did.
But the start of the fourth quarter sideline interview.
I don't think I've ever seen him like talk or anything. He seems super nice.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it was, but I saw a Gary Neal interview for one of the first times, and he seems not nice.
No, not at all.
Didn't like him, which fits with how he plays. Like
Gary.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a nice guy. Unfortunate.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't need these guys to be nice. Just get W's. Right?
Hardline stance from the Sixers fan. Did the Sixers win tonight, Duncan?
Got the first win.
Yes!
Took down Kobe.
They can't even tank right, is what you're saying.
Well, they still stayed, you know, one win below the Lakers, so... I'm sure if they had the same amount of wins, they would have lost.
What was Kobe doing? How many threes did he end up jacking?
At least
17?
The last time I checked.
17.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy.
And this all coming, he was extra inspired because Kobe Bryant announced that he is retiring after the season.
Good riddance.
I saw a video of somebody asking Byron Scott. They were like, did you think that was too many threes for Kobe to take tonight? And he was just like, yeah, I think so. Like, you're the coach. You're not. Why didn't you tell him to stop or, like, do something about it? He just seemed like he was, like, commenting on the weather. Like, yeah, it is fucking raining out there. I don't have any.
He is, like, I mean, there's a lot of, you see a lot of coaches for, you know, professional sports teams. They just look totally listless. He is one of those guys that just, I mean, at least this year, I can't comment on his other coaching jobs, but he doesn't know, he doesn't care what's going on, I don't know. He's not playing D'Angelo Russell in crunch time, your number three draft pick, like.
It could be a doesn't care. I mean, he's coaching a team that's just gonna suck, you know, what's it?
I don't know, though, but he has, like, he'll say weird things right after games, like criticizing, like, the character of his team. I don't know. He seems very off. Like, he is totally disconnected from whatever it is that an NBA coach is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, I know you're a big Kobe Bryant fan. I didn't know if you wanted to reflect on this news. We were actually talking earlier, so we kind of drew lines in the sand. Duncan, not a big Kobe Bryant fan.
I was just going to say this is true.
Confirm. Not a big Kobe Bryant fan. I myself, not so much either. I was more of a Steve Nash guy back in the day. But Dave, as long as I can remember, huge Kobe Bryant fan. Mm-hmm. I remember when Steve Nash won the MVP. We argued about it on the bus going to high school together. Mm-hmm. Your love reaches is deep and far.
You're really dating us, Schwenk.
I know.
All the kids out there that thought we were their age, and now.
Nope. Sorry, children. We're the advanced age of 26.
For the kids listening who don't know, Steve Nash was a point guard in the NBA for some time.
I feel like that's the music that whenever you describe Steve Nash. One of the best passing point guards and free throw shooters of all time.
back in an era when the Phoenix Suns made the playoffs every year. If you can imagine that.
Well, my Kobe distaste comes from a little before that, because similar to your argument, over who should have won MVP that year, back in like middle school days, maybe even late grade school.
You're dating yourself. You went to middle school?
I did. being from Philly, every argument was who's better, Kobe or Iverson.
Of course.
Looking back, Kobe was certainly a better player, but I mean, I still always liked Iverson more and would just rail for Iverson in any of those arguments at the time. And probably still would if it came down to it. I'm not going to just give in to the Kobe guy. I'm going to fight for Iverson anyway. And so just out of that natural rivalry between those two dudes, because they were like kind of opposing on that.
Yeah, but I feel like if you were an Iverson fan, then you probably liked him for the same reasons that I was a big Kobe fan, is that I think the most exciting thing in sports is when one dude takes over an NBA game. And I think Kobe did that in the most like aesthetically pleasing way, when he would just be like
just raining from everywhere.
Right, pump faking. He would get you with like the head fakes. He could either blow by you or just like hit a turnaround three with three guys on him. I think that was what got me into basketball at the beginning, was Kobe, those like 2004 through 2006 or 7 Lakers teams, just Kobe doing it all by himself.
Whereas in my formative basketball years, the Sixers' one trip to the finals was a loss to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. It's only further fueled my hatred. So I won't miss them.
So when Kobe Bryant leaves, this is the song you'll be singing?
No, I've kind of...
Well, that was Duncan. No. You'll be more of a...
No. I mean, I've kind of come around the other way. Like, that's not a good way to actually, like, win basketball games. And...
Head fakes and errant three-point shots.
Well, they weren't always errant. See, I've tamed the other way. That's what the other thing I was saying earlier, we should have pitted 13-year-old you versus 13-year-old me in this podcast, and it would have been much more heated and
it wouldn't have been I would have just used a lot of language that
I was gonna say
on this podcast.
You would have said a lot of mean things and maybe even flipped the table before you like stormed out the door never to be seen again.
Well, I would have just, you know, pulled down my arm sleeve and gave it right back to you.
There are also some like other things that happen in that stretch of Kobe's career that, you know, it all seems cooler when you're like 16, like that attitude that he had, than when you're a little bit older. And like, and now he's doing the same shit. Like he put up 17 3-pointers tonight.
In a loss point. To the worst team in basketball.
Right.
History.
Yeah, like maybe the worst team ever.
I like that him being terrible right now has divided the two superstars in the league, LeBron and Durant. Durant being like, guys, you media, you shouldn't say that Kobe Bryant sucks right now. LeBron's like, psh, he sucks, brah. He didn't really say it like that. But that's how they've kind of diverted it in their hot Kobe takes.
Well, LeBron was also said today something about how he always says that, like in past interviews, had always credited Michael Jordan as his like main hero, but he always more realistically thought he could be a more like Kobe, which I think he doesn't really play much like either, but it was a nice thing. He was more on the tribute side there.
I don't know that... So how old... So LeBron's 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was born in 1985. So he was like 12. I guess that makes
that's
sense.
Perfect,
when Kobe came into
the league.
Yeah. And that was right around when Jordan was retiring,
getting
basically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, him lowering the, you know, the all-time great expectations. Like, maybe saying, well, you know, I could get four rings. I might not be able to get Jordan's number, but I could get four.
Well, he's got five now.
Yeah, Kobe. Five.
I can't count. Can't count. I don't pay attention, you know.
But I do, LeBron said today that something like he feels bad that he didn't meet Kobe in the finals that year when he lost to the Magic.
Yeah.
In, I guess it was 2010.
Magic, was it 2010?
Yeah, 2010. And that he felt like he owed people, and that would have been a great finals.
That would have been real cool. Because that would have been peak, that, like what you're talking about, every game would have been that excitement of which of these two guys going head-to-head is going to win the game.
And that was when the Kobe versus LeBron argument was at, like, actually it might have been like a year. I feel like most people had felt like it kind of tipped over to LeBron, but I think Kobe could have had another series in him where he could have, that would have been a good one to see. And then Dwight Howard ruined it. Like, he ruined so many things.
He's terrible. He is just the worst. You know what? I really enjoy any story I hear about him or James Harden being, like, aloof from the rest of the team. It just confirms my worldview that they're just awkward weirdos.
I'm glad that in our first podcast of the year, I picked the Rockets to win the championship, and then their coach got fired 11 games in.
That's bad times.
You didn't even want to do the segment. I was like, well, let's just run through it real quick.
That's true.
You did this to yourself, Dave.
Yeah.
Since we're looking NBA-wide, let's talk. Do you guys, I have an NBA recommendation. I don't know if you guys have anything in mind. I'll lead us off here. Podcast related, surprisingly awesome. You should check it out. Just search surprisingly awesome like you would Zardcast. They cover topics that are boring but turn out to be semi-interesting. So they've done concrete, mold, and free throws. And I'll get it on the soundboard next week, but they do the episode on free throws. They talk to Dirk Nowitzki about him missing two free throws in game three in his that series against the Heat in the NBA Finals. It causes them to lose the game and ultimately the championship, and he still, like, bears the weight of that. And then he reveals that to calm himself down while shooting free throws, he sings Counting Crows' Mr. Jones. So, and then he actually sings it, so you guys should check that out.
How's his voice?
He just, it's just like a talk scene. Mr. Jones. That's a terrible German accent, but.
I thought it was Wunderbar. NBA Rex?
Yeah. Anything on the brain, Duncan?
I mean, I'm always a sucker for a streak, so every Warriors game, it's pretty obvious. I don't, you know, nobody's going to hear this and say, you know what, maybe I should watch the Warriors.
Did you sweat it out last night?
Last night's I didn't catch, but I've been watching as many as I can. And the other, you know, any streak I'm a sucker for, so obviously I was tracking the Sixers one too, and thankfully that's over.
All right. Warrior streak.
Yeah. And just League Pass in general so that you can watch the Warriors. I always, whenever it's like 1 o'clock at night and the Warriors are still on and Steph Curry has like 40 points or something, I'm never like, man, I wish I wasn't watching this right now. It's always worth your time to watch Steph Curry this year, I think. Other than that, I can't really think of anything other than probably just get 2K.
I was going to say, that's your obvious NBA recommendation.
Try to play it for like 10 hours a day.
Are you going to give them your handle? They can play you online?
I'm not good enough yet. I don't want to get... I'm trying to like get a handle on it. I mean, obviously I'm very good, but I'm not.
What was your record in for 15 on PlayStation 3? It's always about protecting the winning percentage.
Yeah, I mean it was close to 80%, I think. I probably played 300 games, 400 games.
Okay. Respectable, I suppose. It's like I don't play that game, so.
I mean, it's really just a huge waste of time. I mean, a game takes at least half an hour. I don't even want to think about how much of my life I wasted doing that.
Yo, I can't even. I committed to playing fantasy basketball this year, and I've botched it 2 weeks in a row, just ruining my team and my chances. I put down real money for it. I botched it. It wasn't like I forgot to set my lineup. I just botched it last week, and the commissioner was so mad that he told my buddy who got me into the league, he requested that he find someone else to take over my team. So I'm determined to beat the commissioner now, no matter where he places. That is my goal.
We booted somebody from my fantasy football league a few years ago. We set up a league with extensive keepers, and so you need to have the same people every year. 1 year in, not like halfway through the year, one of the dudes who'd committed to this 10-year league was just paying no attention at all. And so we booted him and got someone to inherit his team, take over. And we kind of expected him to not pay attention, and just sort of as a fuck you to all of us since then, he has not changed the team name or done anything. And he's been terrible constantly, which has been pretty good. And then this year he's got the best team, and it sucks for everyone.
So what would you do if in a league – do you allow for trading players for future draft picks?
Yeah.
What would you do if someone pulled a Sam Hinkie in your league?
We put in place some tanking like penalties. I don't remember what they were, but we voted on them a while ago. Somebody did screw up in the before because none of us had done it before. Before this league, like one where you keep everyone like this, and someone didn't realize how valuable future picks were going to be and traded Mike Wallace for, or no, they traded away like 10 future picks, first and second rounders, for Mike Wallace.
Why?
Yikes.
He just didn't think the rookies were going to be valuable, and then they're incredibly valuable every time. Like this year, Gurley was the first pick, you know. It's huge. So he bungled that.
Well, I don't think mine's just a one season league, so I'm not destroying any worlds here, but
I mean, you could.
Well, that's the other thing. Like,
find out who this guy is going to play in the playoffs and then trade him your best player.
That's what I'm thinking, because, like, okay, it was totally my bad that I botched my lineup last week. I want to play. I want to be competitive. That's why I threw the money down. I don't know. I just don't play fantasy sports. It's tough for my brain to be like, oh, you should check your roster every day. Trying to get better at it. But
you're dumb. That's what you're trying to say.
Yes, I'm dumb. But because this guy has been so salty about it, do I just try and sabotage everything? No.
Yeah, no? Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be that guy. It sucks when not everyone plays.
All right.
But it wouldn't be that you're not playing. It's just that you're playing
by my own rules. Duncan severely disagrees with this as like a moral question.
Moral and just I play fantasy everything like every year, so I just know how mad I'd get if I was in your league.
All right, Duncan, you're leading me towards the sabotage angle. Thank you for that. All right, let's get out of here on that. We jabbered enough away tonight. Any final thoughts, guys? Any lingering things in your brains? It's okay if there's not.
Did we get everything?
I think just about.
I think that we did.
We didn't cover the fact that though the Wizards are under 500, they're undefeated with Zardcast representation at the Verizon Center.
That's true. 2-0.
So if anyone wants to crowdsource our ticket purchases and keep us going in the game so the Wizards keep winning.
You know what, Schwenk? Stop the music. You know what we didn't do? The Twitter shout-outs that we said we were going to do.
Oh, man. You know what? I've been off the Twitter.
Oh.
Let's see here. No, I'll pull it up right now. Because you're right. We have a duty to perform.
I also now kind of want to always fake forget something, and so you can say, wait, Schwenk, stop the music. That was one of my favorite things that's ever happened on this, I think.
If only we had a good record scratch, yeah. Yeah.
We're a bunch of glass shattering.
Let's see who we got here. We're going to have to dig deep. We got to give a shout-out. You know what? I'm going to give shout-outs to people who asked us where we were.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's good to be missed.
NBA Jam Fever or whatever. The one
NBA
guy.
Jam fans. Yeah. At it's a... I can't even read this. It's a NBA Jam thing. It's an NBA Jam thing. Sorry. I can't read. I can't. I'm just... You said it perfectly, Kev. I'm dumb. So, it's an NBA Jam thing. Thanks for inquiring as to where we were. Our boy, Caleb Michael Sarvis, at Caleb's M. Sarvis.
I like that guy.
He's always giving us some shine. We really appreciate him listening to the show. We got Hokie Skin, at Red Hokie Skin. He asked if we would publish the podcast on Stitcher, which I will get to the bottom of. So I appreciate you listening, and we'll get it on there for you for your convenience.
I can't believe there's something that you could publish this thing on that you hadn't already. Because you go through a list of, like, I feel like 45 or 50 things at the beginning of every episode.
What's Stitcher, like a Frankenstein-making app?
I think it's the Frankenstein podcast app. I think, I don't know how it works, but for most of these apps, if you plug the podcast in an RSS feed, it populates somewhere else, but I guess that is one place that it does not. So, Red Hokie, I've lost you on the thing. I'm sorry. Hokie Skin, my friend, will be on Stitcher soon enough. So thank you, Caleb Michael Sarvis, Hokie Skin, and NBA Jam fans. Shout out to y'all. Thanks for repping the pod.
What a trio of just beautiful human beings.
Luminary minds, I would say. Friends of the show. And Mike Crane, friend of the show, who called us out immediately for not doing the John Wall thing. Before John even texted you, Dave, Mike was on it. So
I think we were still recording and he somehow
he just knew
up on it and knew. Oh, one other thing that was crazy is just the price of resale tickets for tomorrow night's Lakers game.
What are they at?
The cheapest I saw was 100 upper level.
Jesus.
Yeah. You could go, when I went to the Bucks game, I got my tickets for I think $6 or $7. You could go to 10 games against the Bucks and still have change.
That's quite expensive. Let's pull it up here. That will be our last act.
The cheapest ticket is $72. $75. And that's in, yeah, the section like behind the basket in the upper deck. And it's row O, which is...
Row O, it's magic.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Stop the music. We're shutting the podcast down.
We're going to keep the music going because it's the last time you'll ever hear it, because the podcast is over after that. Yeah, looking at prices on SeatGeek, 117, 91, 91, 91, 91, 96, 97, and that's all behind the basket. So if you're lucky enough to go to tomorrow's game, enjoy. We won't be there. So if the Wizards lose, you can't hold us accountable.
And it's your fault.
Totally your fault.
And if you'd sent us your tickets so we could go, they probably would win. So even more your fault.
Consider that when you're listening to this. At Zardcast on Twitter. Zardcast@gmail.com. Zardcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, Google Play. All of that jazz. So we'll leave you on this. We'll be back next week to talk more Wiz, more basketball, more life. So for my fine co-host, Duncan Perfect Roth, David Keffer, I am CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.
Napa Know How.
A
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how!
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.